Hi, this is Stuart Copeland, and I'm back on the Rock Solid Podcast.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room to promote the re-release of his album Clark Kent, please welcome back to the show, Mr. Stuart Copeland. How you doing, Stuart?
Pretty good. Great to be back here with you.
Now, I don't know if you remember, but about 6 years ago, I was actually in the Sacred Grove, and we recorded an episode together live and in person.
What do you know? And that's where I'm sitting even now.
I know. It's a fantastic room. You were promoting the Gizmodrome project, and it was one of the best times of my life. I have to be honest with you.
Wow, that's great.
When people say, you know, in the 13 years I've been doing this podcast, they say, which one stands out for you? And I say 100% number one was recording with you in person right there.
Oh, shucks.
And the story I always tell is I'm setting up the equipment and you asked me if I wanted some coffee. And I said, no, thank you. And then you asked me again. And I said, no, thank you. And then you said, we have really great coffee here. And then I said, yes.
Sure, fine, okay. Well, we needed to be on an equal level of caffeination.
Yes, we did. So,
to survive the encounter.
Of course. All right, let's continue. Clark Kent Deluxe Edition comes out on November 17th. CD, vinyl, digital download. This version contains 30 tracks, and the Deluxe Edition kicks off with It's Gonna Rain.
It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain out on the plain. It's gonna rain like a fountain. It's gonna rain on all this pain. Is coming, gonna need a boat. Better grab your phone book and count your friends. Better take a good look and make amends.
This song was not on the original album. Where does it originate from?
Well, you know, my history with Clark Kent is that occasionally I would hear rustling coming from my studio room in the night. And in the morning, I go in there, there's a sound of like burnt train set, you know, melted wires and so on. And there would be another treasure left on the recording machinery left by Dr. Kent. And this last manifestation, It's Gonna Rain, was more recent. I think in the, I can't remember what year it was, but it was this millennium.
All right.
You know, he usually returns to the earth about once every 5,642 years.
Well, it's a great track. I love it. And you play all the instruments?
Or Clark yes, does? Dr. Kent does perform on all of the instruments, and all the engineering as well. It's just, you know, I wake up and then, you know, it's just one guy has been loose in my sacred grove. That I've, you know, even when I was in a bedsit, one corner of my room was the Sacred Grove, where my trusty Revox A77 recording machine was.
And how do you rate Dr. Kent as a guitarist and a bassist?
Well, I would say that Sathya Sri Kent actually remanifested as Stevie Ray Vaughan. For a short while, sadly, if only he had carried on, I think that Stevie Ray Vaughan really is the epitome of if Clark Kent had stuck at just playing guitar, that's where he might have ended up on a good day.
Let me ask you about this album. You've gone back to the Clark Kent well many times, the collected works in 1995, the Record Store Day vinyl release from earlier this year. Is this it? Have we finally purged the vaults of any and all Clark Kent related tracks?
Well, yes and no. The album includes all the demos that were left by Sir Kent, and then later recorded properly in the studio. So this album has the home demo of each one of those songs.
Yes.
There are also home demos on my tape machines that I recorded. Gosh darn it. I'll fess up to Police songs, other songs, and, you know, because I was after spending all day booking trucks for the Police and hustling gigs and selling boxes of records, I'd get home and play with my Revox A77 and my guitar, then record stuff. And I've got all those recordings. They will never all see the light of day. Some of them will be on a Police deluxe album, which will be the the early proto versions of a lot of those songs. The Clark Kent ones are appearing on the Clark Kent deluxe album. Others appear in the deluxe version of my book, The Police Diaries, which covers 1970. There you go. You're holding it.
Yes.
A lot of them are in, or there's a CD included in that book with these home recordings. Like I say, you know, speaking for myself here, not His Holiness Kent. I was pretty good at that guitar. You know, I could have been a Ramone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably couldn't have played with, you know, Genesis or anything, but I could have been a Ramone.
Well, you played with Curve Air, so maybe you could have played with Genesis.
Well, I could play drums with Curved Air or Genesis. All That's right. different.
Absolutely.
I actually practiced on the drums. I got pretty good at it eventually.
I like the Ramones reference because this album is a punky, fast, fun album. I've always enjoyed it, and revisiting it with all the demos has been a joy. I think fans are really going to dig it.
Well, I hope so. It is a time of an era, and for a lot of people, it was the album that they broke out to. You know, humans are like ducks in that when a duck climbs out of its shell, its first exposure, the first warm body it sees, that's mama. And for humans, when they climb out of their shell at 16 and become rebellious youths, the music that's playing that day is daddy. And there are many for whom Clark Kent was that voice. Even more people, the Police, and there's a whole bandwidth of bands, you know, Foo Fighters, Rage Against the Machine, Primus, Tool, and other of that age group, who were 16 when the Police hit. And so I visit among them and they treat me like a Beatle. For me, I bow and scrape when Ringo walks in the room, and it's unsettling to see these big rock stars treating me that way. I'm just me. But well, that, actually, I can share with you, your listeners, that in rock and roll, probably in acting as well, we establish a hierarchy. Like, you know, humans are also like dogs. When we know our place in the hierarchy, we're all happy. If I'm the bottom, I'm the top, I'm in the middle, who cares? As long as I know my place, I know who's above and below, competition is all over now. It's resolved. So the way musicians resolve our hierarchy, who bows and scrapes for whom, is easy. Chronology, who came first? The bass player in the Pretty Things outranks me, but I outrank Kanye. You know, it's not a matter of sales or prestige or prominence in the marketplace or anything. It's just chronology keeps it simple.
Right. And the way you just lovingly talked about Ringo Starr, I'm sure Dave Grohl feels that way about you. And I'm sure someone feels that way about Dave. And it just.
Oh, man, of course.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
I believe the, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the only song from this collection that was presented to the police to possibly record? Was it Don't Care? Is that the only one you presented to them? Or did Kent give all of them over and say, what do you think?
I have a recording of Sting singing Don't Care. And one day, if he annoys me, I will post it. But I won't do that because I love the man and I hold him in deep reverence, love, and respect. And I would not do that to him. He is a man of great intellectual depth. I would not do that to him. But I do have the recording just in case.
All right. Yeah. You gotta hold that collateral back.
Yeah.
I am the hottest thing you ever will see. You know I'm something it ain't easy to be. I am the neatest thing that ever hit town. There isn't anything that could be me now. Don't care if you really wanna hang around. Don't care, cause I am the neatest thing in town. Don't care if you really wanna stick around. I don't care if you even wanna put me down. The girls are always trying to settle me down. They never guess I'm only fooling around. My only worry is my humility. It dampens all my heavy artillery. Don't care if you really wanna hang around. Don't care, cause I am the neatest thing in town. Don't care if you really wanna stick around. I don't care if you even wanna put me down. Don't care. No, no.
The whole band is an intellectual band, in my opinion. I've interviewed Andy a year and a half ago, and you guys are all intelligent gentlemen, elder statesmen.
Oh, I can string a sentence together, I guess. We're old. That's what it is.
You're old. We've
been around the block.
Clark Kent appeared on Top of the Pops to perform Don't Care.
Yes.
The gentleman wore makeup and sunglasses. We knew who it was, but the rest of the band wore rubber masks. Who were the people in those rubber masks?
Well, Sting and Andy, you can spot them right away. Sting in a gorilla mask. Andy, I believe, was impersonating Leonid Brezhnev. The drummer was Florian Pilkington Mixa, who was my predecessor in Curved Air. And the bass player was actually, I forget whether Sting was miming. Yeah, he was miming on bass.
He was miming on bass, you know. I believe.
What was I doing that day? Gosh, Kent never called me. I was busy managing, I guess. But Kent was on bass. In fact, I've got that Telecaster bass. He used all my equipment. Might have been two. Anyhow, the first time the Blondheads were on national TV was as Clark Kent's backing band.
Crazy.
And another of my favorite brags.
That's crazy. Just before I forget, I want to let people know your website is stuartcopeland.net, Twitter at Copeland Music, Instagram at Stuart_Copeland. If you go to the website, you will find out all about this release and all of Stuart's projects from 2023. This has been a busy year for you with projects.
It has been. And I've been out on the road. I've got this Clark Kent album coming out. There's a book that my diaries, the police diaries of 1977 through 78, which you're holding in your hands even now, which is, you know, the diary, how much we got paid every day, every daily grind, the shows we played, meeting Sting, us two being discovered by Andy Summers and rescued from penury by Andy. Then there's, I've been playing the show, The Police Deranged for Orchestra, which I show up in Atlanta and Denver or wherever and play with the symphony orchestra and play these songs. And an album connected with that, too.
Yes.
Oh, wait
yes.
A minute. Hold on a second. Two albums connected with that. The Police Deranged for Orchestra, perfectly nice album. Got to the top of the classical charts and classical crossover. Not to number one because, you know, Sakamoto had an album, happened to die that week. Bless him, but did very well. And then my buddy with whom I won a Grammy last year and the year before, Ricky Cage, said, send me those stems, send me those backing tracks. And I did, and I sent him the orchestral performances of those police songs. Yep. And my banging stuff. And he fired up the Soweto Gospel Choir and other ethnic singers, you know, Sui Jian from China with billions of followers. And Serge Tankian doing an Armenian, it's the global version of the album in all these different languages. I did enjoy sending Sting Tea in the Sahara in Chinese, but also you should hear Every Breath You Take in Zulu. It's been a busy year.
Yeah, it, for sure. Now, when you do a project like Police Deranged for Orchestra, do Andy and Sting have to sign off and approve something like that? The songs you're picking, or how does that work? Since they're, you three are the police, and now you're doing something new with your catalog.
No, they don't. It's a complicated music industry legality.
Sure.
But anybody can play any song they want.
Okay.
The songwriter can't stop them, but you have to pay the songwriter, but they can't stop you from doing it. If you want to put that music of that song to picture, you need what's called a sync license. And for that, you need permission.
Okay.
So if I want to do a video of any kind with any of those songs, I got to go to my buddy and say, how about it? And he's probably going to say yes, because we're mates. But with regard to books, I always, in my film that I made, I always sent it to them just because I don't want to have anything misconstrued or, right. I got no axe to grind. It's a love letter to both of them.
Yeah. And you don't want to say, but you don't want them to be surprised when the thing gets officially released and go, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. This one I didn't send to them though, because I there isn't anything they could possibly not like in it, because they were both quite heroic. They were incredibly loyal to my vision, which they didn't even believe. This whole punk thing, Stuart's on this punk thing, but they did cut their hair. They did assume the punk uniform, and that was the only way we could get gigs. And they thought I was crazy. And eventually music interfered with, thank God, saved us from that. When Andy joined, suddenly that's when Sting started writing those great songs, So this is all clear in the book. I doubt if there will be any problem. Either of them will have any problem with the way they're portrayed in this book. I mean, that's the way they're portrayed in the diaries that I was writing at the time.
And the book, how long does it take you to put together a book like this?
Oh, a couple months. In between other missions, I was traveling, I was touring and so on. While I was proofreading the book, and now that I have it in my hand, I see a few typos and stuff like that. I was proofreading it in a hotel room while being a judge at Cannes Film Festival. Did not get my fullest attention. I was just having too much of a wild party, right? That crew and the publishers back in London saying, hey, we gotta go to print. And so I'm trying to, after the wild parties and screenings and la-di-da, I'm going to go back and look at these printouts of the book. There have been many overlapping missions. And so how long did it take? I was doing several other things at the same time.
When I leaf through this book, it appears that you keep everything, every scrap of paper, every little.
Oh, yeah.
Your whole entire history is in here up to 1979, basically. Where do you store all this stuff? Do you just have boxes and boxes in a storage facility?
Well, I can show you right now. One drawer.
That's it.
In my studio. Would you like to see it?
Sure, why not?
Okay, here it is. There are all of your listeners out there can just imagine. I'm walking over to a drawer in my studio. I'm opening the drawer. Okay, it's a biggest drawer. Looking down, there are all the diaries.
Wow.
They're tiny. They're like 1 inch by 2 inches. They're tiny little books. Weak at a glance, it may be 2 inches by 3 inches. And I've got all my notes and everything, the receipts. I don't know why I kept all that stuff. I didn't keep them all, but enough of them.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I've got them. I've got my first guitar. I don't throw things away.
No. In the book, there's a drum set that you sold, and you said that was not like you to ever sell musical instruments.
It's true. I didn't sell musical instruments. I've kept everything except, weirdly, drum sets are the one thing that I'm not sentimental about. They're big.
Yeah.
You can't sleep with your drum set. You can take a guitar to bed at night, mm-hmm. You can polish it lovingly. Drum sets, the roadies put them on stage. You bang the shit out of them. You walk away. You're in the shower while the roadies disassemble them, rape them. put them back in boxes and take them away. You don't have that same, the guitarist you take back to your hotel room with you, you know.
Right.
And all the other instruments are, you know, I've got one drum set here that I'm very fond of, and it's not leaving the room. And so, no, I don't throw things away. Besides, I love vintage instruments. You know, the day in New York City when in 1978, when we got the news from, you know, a call from London, from the accountant. Okay, boys, the check has dropped. You are now three very wealthy young men.
Fantastic.
We happened to be in New York City and went straight down to 57th Street, Manny's, and bought most of what was in the music store. Amplifiers, guitars, special effects, all kinds of stuff. I still got it all. I'm still playing with all that gear even today.
So when I was in the Sacred Grove, your drum set was in a specific spot. Does it live there all the time? Is that the sweet spot in the room for sound?
Yep. It's sort of like the drums at the, you know, in Motown studios in Detroit, where if you want a different drum sound, hire a different studio. You know, the reason you're in this room is because of that drum sound.
Yeah.
And the drums ain't moving.
So Stuart Copeland's Police Diaries, it takes us up to 1979. Does that mean that there's possibly a volume two down the road?
Well, the volume two is already out there. It's called a movie called Everyone Stares.
Okay.
Because I stopped taking the, it was just moving too fast at that point. We're just city after city after city crossing the giant span of America.
And that's when you picked up the camera.
That's right. And the story resumes on camera.
All right. Good to know. I have that documentary. I love it. And I like that. The book is volume one and the movie is volume two, even though the movie came out first.
Well, I did them all in reverse. Volume three. Yeah. Uh-oh. I haven't got to volume four yet, but volume three was the book I wrote first, which in my foolish arrogance, there you go. You're holding that up now.
Yes.
In my foolish arrogance, I thought these stories of the weird stuff that happens to ex rock stars, weird adventures that I had around the world with royalty, with in sports and arts and so on. And this is sort of like those dinner tales I thought people would be interested in. Of course, it's fascinating stories, but everyone's going, wait a minute. Where's the police? So, okay. Then I did the movie about the police's rise. And then last of all, I did the book about the police's origins. So I'm kind of rewriting all this in reverse order.
Now, speaking of royalty, the Royal Mint is releasing a coin celebrating the police and the 40th anniversary of Synchronicity. How does that happen?
Incoming phone call. And I was very disappointed. I thought I was going to be like Hadrian or Nero or Queen Elizabeth and have my face on a coin. But no, only royalty gets to be on the coin. So they could have a representation. But, you know, that profile shot that you're supposed to see of on a coin?
Yes.
No. You have to actually be royalty to get that. So we just had some kind of graphic, police graphic. Still a great honor. I'm honored.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. I have to marry a princess or something. Too late for that.
And the listeners, you guys can Google this coin. You can purchase one. They're really cool.
Well, that's actually currency.
Yeah.
It's money.
It's
worth £1.
They're charging more than £1 for it if you order it online.
Yeah, but if you want to buy buy a tank of gas or something, it's worth £1.
How many of those will go into circulation, I wonder?
I don't know anything at all about commemorative coins and whether they ever actually enter circulation or whether they only exist in a special presentation package or so on.
Yeah, that's true. And will you be sent some of these?
Yeah, I've got one around here somewhere. I gave them, I got a bunch of them. I had them like three or four, and I gave them to super fans who helped me write my book by knowing more about my story than I do. Where is that thing? It's in here somewhere. Anyway, it's in there somewhere.
I believe.
But I gave them away because, you know, with those kind of artifacts, I don't need those. I keep musical instruments. I keep notes, but merch, What am I going to do with it? And it'll be more treasured, more valued by others than by me.
That's true.
I got one of them just for, you know, reference.
Yeah.
And now a word from our sponsors.
What it be, Rock Solid listeners. It's your pal Ryan Buds, host of Trivia with Buds, a Monday through Friday trivia podcast with fun-themed quizzes in under 10 minutes a day. Listen to recent episodes on topics you'll love, like Chicago bands, one-hit wonders, Christmas songs, and more. And make sure to hit subscribe so you never miss a new episode. That's Trivia with Buds on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your shows. P.S. It's a great way to pass time on a road trip. You should try it out. Cheers.
Back to the show.
Let's backtrack to Police Deranged for Orchestra. It contained 10 classic Police songs. How did you go about choosing which songs you were going to do in the deranged manner?
Well, the original selection was what I used for my film as score.
Okay.
And using the material as score required that I cut it up. And as soon as the scalpel came out, the orgy began, and I just began having too much fun carving up these Police songs, putting this lyric over that bass line, you know, switching things up and just lobotomizing it all, deranging it, as it were. It was just a really fun exercise. But I needed more songs. I didn't do this to all of them. And some of them, like Roxanne, I deranged the heck out of. But Message in a Bottle, the form is like a diamond. You just can't slice it any other way. And I could mess with the textures, the orchestration, but the actual form of the song, well, it's a story with a beginning, middle, and end, so you can't mess with it.
One of my faves on the album is Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Who's the female voice handling the lead vocals?
Which one? The global one or the straight one? The main one is Amy Keys. Amy Keys, along with Ashley and Carmel Helene, Ashley Tamar. And Amy Keys, Ashley Tamar, and Carmel Helene are the three ladies who do the singing and with whom I've been touring. They are the Derangettes, lovingly referred to as the Dejettes. They are so beautiful. And I had this as kind of a clever intellectual idea. You know, how are you going to replace Sting? Well, not with some guy.
Right.
That poor bastard. But how about three soul singers on the mic? And that was an idea. Brilliant. And then I heard them. You know, I did the arranging, doing the score, orchestrating and arranging everything. But then when I heard them, oh my God, not only was I transported by them, but it introduced me to a whole genre of music, the Supremes, the Ronettes, the Chiffons, the Four Tops even, you know. And so in a way, it's like those Police songs sung by the Supremes.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I heard female vocals on there, I was like, oh, this is definitely part of the deranging. And I felt the same way. I wouldn't have accepted a male voice stepping in for Sting on these versions. I wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then there's another step, which is when I hear, because the original Dejets are also on the Global album as the kind of the foundation upon which all these other ethnic artists are go. And to hear American, you know, Black American culture arriving back in Africa and to be joined by the Soweto Gospel Choir. Oh, that's chills up the spine. Oh, it's just the cultural full circle just sends me. And clearly those singers, those women in Africa, they've heard some Aretha.
For sure. Back to Clark Kent and the new album, the new re-release deluxe edition. I highly recommend Away From Home. That song is just so fun and so infectious. I'm excited for people who maybe haven't heard this album to go purchase it.
Well, if you're 18, it's the perfect album for you.
That's true. I think the original one came out when I was, I was 15 or 16 when it dropped.
Well, there you go. You're a duck and I'm your daddy.
that is correct. Here's something I want to ask. When I interviewed Andy, he had mentioned something about a Regatta du Blanc box set coming out. Like some massive thing. And I don't know if that's just, if this is.
Well, no, they've gotten confused, but yes, all those Police albums are getting the deluxe treatment. And there, we had an epiphany. And that epiphany was as a result of the Beatles, before which our policy was nothing but the pristine, fully developed, fully produced final version shall go out into the world. And all those versions of the song and its underpants, no, let's stick with the pristine, perfect version and the sketches, never mind them. Until we saw the Beatles documentary, where we came to understand that those versions of the song in its underpants, they don't detract from the song, they add to the luster, to the story, to the depth of appreciation of the song to see how it evolved. And that in fact, all of these other lesser versions are complementary. And suddenly at that point, we said, if it's okay for the Beatles, it's okay for us. And so we changed our policy there. And indeed, we do have a lot of that material. We were very prolific, both on stage and in the studio, and at home with our home recording equipment. So there's a lot of material. Regatta was the first. We hadn't quite got our ducks in order. I think it's Synchronicity is going to come out deluxe with all that extra stuff.
So, and when can we expect this? Because I'm not getting any younger, Stuart. I need to hear this stuff.
Oh, this year. Oh, wait a minute. No, this, I don't know. I just, you know, I have no idea. I guess. Yeah.
All right.
We've been working on it. We've been, you know, curating it, if you like. But I, you know, that's when it actually comes out. I don't have any idea.
All right. Well, until then, folks, you can go and pre-order Clark Kent Deluxe, 2-CD set. It's on vinyl, 30 tracks. You're going to want to hear all that. So go back and revisit all that music while you wait for the Deluxe Police reissues. I have a question. The Universal fire in 2008, were the Police master recordings lost in that fire?
No, they were not.
Okay. Because it's whenever I read
the Police
a list,
master recordings reside in England, in London.
Good to know.
And
good
in fact, know. I've got most of them, which is what I used for my derangements.
Okay.
I've got the master, you know, tracks in Pro Tools sessions. I've got all, not all of it, but almost all of it sitting here on my shelf as digital files.
Okay.
I've also got yards and yards and yards of 2-inch magnetic tape. 2-inch wide magnetic tape, old 24 track reel to reel tape from the good old days.
Let me ask you, what is a Stuart Copeland's, what's a typical day for you? Right now you're walking around the studio. I feel like that's you, like you're always moving.
It does seem that way. I get through breakfast in a hurry because I'm in a hurry to get back in this room, fire up my computer, or start banging shit. I love it in here. I don't ever want to leave. I have a family that loves me. That's the only thing that can drag me out of the studio. But my typical day is right here at this desk, either composing opera or writing a book or cutting film or composing or orchestrating, which are two very different kind of exercises.
So what I'm understanding is there's no way that you're ever going to lose the creative gene. You are all in to create every day.
It is just a blessing for which I am. I'm not even religious, but I'm very thankful, and I'm not quite sure who to thank. I get confused. I'm the opposite of a foxhole Christian. I've had so much good fortune in my life. So many blessings land upon me undeserving that I am overwhelmed by gratitude. Apart from my family, the work aspect of what I'm so grateful for is that every day I get to make model airplanes. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And it's important. It's deep. I'm completely engrossed in it. I take it very seriously, but man, it's so much fun, you know. My mother-in-law is visiting, and she says, so you're going back to work. they call it work. I do get paid for it. Like I said, thank you.
People need to value the word fun a lot more, because it's important to have fun and do something that's fun. When you were going through the demos from the Clark Kent album, was there one that jumped out at you and that you were like, wow, that is really cool. That is extra fun.
Well, there was one that jumped out at me because it's a Police song called It's All Right For You. And I listened to my demo and I realized, wait a minute, that's the same guitarist and the same amp and the same guitar as the Police record. And it that's right. That's right. Those lazy summon of bitches. they took it was like a Clark Kent recording, guitar, bass, and drums, but Sting just added a lyric on top, and Sting and Andy played a blazing guitar solo. But fuck the Ramones. For one afternoon, I was the guitarist in the Police. And so next time you might be inclined to listen to It's All Right for You on whatever Police album that is, that's your humble servant on guitar, bass, and drums.
Excellent. Love it.
Except for the guitar, the blazing guitar solo, that'd be Andy Summers.
Every time I read anything that you've written about the history of the band, I come away with, without Andy, it maybe doesn't happen the way it happened.
No, it didn't happen until Andy joined. That's absolutely correct. And what amazes me compiling this book is how Sting and I stuck together without the music. We didn't have Roxanne. We didn't have Message in a Bottle. We didn't have any of those songs. We just had my crap punk bass lines with yelling, because that's what the punk scene required. And for some reason, Sting stuck it out with me in this band, fake punk band called The Police, because I was, raging and I kept talking until it was just beginning to run out of gas when we pulled into a session as a rhythm section, and Andy Summers was the guitarist. And Andy Summers, for some reason, saw something in these two fake punks in a band going nowhere and volunteered to save us, which he did. And as soon as he joined with his huge guitar vocabulary, that's when Sting started writing those big songs.
I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, Andy's playing is so unique. I don't even know how to describe it because I'm not a musician. But when I
I can for you a little bit.
Okay, do
it. He doesn't noodle. He doesn't go bweedly, 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 diddly, diddly, diddly. He creates an orchestral environment. It's not so much guitar heroism. It's a whole envelope of sound that he creates using his six strings and a lot of weird effects and his strange playing and harmonic concepts. It's a world that he creates, not like a lead guitar line.
Well, you would know better than anyone, and that was a perfect summation. Let me tell people one more time about the book, the Stuart Copeland's Police Diaries, released through Rocket 88. Go to Rocket 88's website, and you guys can pick up. There's quite a few different versions. And you're not going to be sorry if you buy this thing. Beautiful, gorgeous book.
Yeah, well, the fancy versions are all gone.
Yeah, okay.
And fortunately, because they're stupidly priced anyway, I'm embarrassed. But they sold out first. The more outrageously priced autumns, because there's an autograph or there's some little tiny little upgrade. Okay, the big upgrade is the CD.
Sure.
With the... That's worth at least 20 cents more.
Right.
But those outrageously, criminally priced versions, they sell first.
Well, they're limited too. They don't make a lot of these super deluxe fancy versions.
Yeah, you don't need that. The book itself is fine. That's what I wrote.
Yeah, well, I got just the basic edition because those other crazy ones were sold out. But I'm quite happy with this. It's fantastic. So many photos, handwritten notations.
Excellent artwork.
Yes, fun stuff.
I say that with a smirk. My doodles. When I was on the phone, rather as we're chatting now and I'm walking around the room, if I wasn't walking around the room, I'd be doodling. And the book's full of all those wild, crazy doodles. Some analyst is going to look at that stuff and go, oh my God, the man's insane.
300 pages of fun. That's what I'm going to call this book.
Cool.
Stuart, a pleasure to talk with you again. Continued success with all these projects and on the upcoming release of Clark Kent Deluxe. Do you have any idea what 2024 is going to bring for Stuart Copeland?
I do. And I'll tell you closer to the time. It just, I'm not a private person. My life is an open book, but I'm superstitious about, talking about what's going to happen, because then it doesn't happen. Weird how that goes.
I don't even
like to uncharacteristically, I have to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I don't even like to tell people who my upcoming guests will be until after we record, because I'm afraid it's not going to happen. But
there you go.
I appreciate you giving me your time today. Again, everyone, Clark Kent Deluxe will be out November 17th, CD, vinyl, and digital. Go to stuartcopeland.net for all things about Stuart Copeland. And one last question before I let you go, Stuart. Of all the songs on the upcoming Clark Kent release, which one would you choose for me to use as the playout song?
Too Cool to Calypso.
Too Cool to Calypso. You got it. Thank you, Stuart, and enjoy your day.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Bye now. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Stuart.
Hey.
Can you hear
me? We got sound? We got picture?
I see you. I can hear you.
Can you feel me?
Not from this distance.
Okay.
Spiritually, maybe.
Good. I will try to feel a little harder.